us pray. Father God, we confess that you are sovereign. You cause all things to be. That's why we are here. Let us never forget that you are the sovereign Lord who gives and who takes away. And our life is a trust. It's entrusted to us. And our life is a test from you. And also, we confess that our life is temporary. Let us never forget that. And in view of the kingdom of God to come, when Jesus comes back, let us live in the light of eternity, Father. And whatever you have given for us to be and to do today, let us do it all to the glory of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. And even this Sunday worship, Father, we thank you that we can gather together at this place, at this time, with each other. We never take it for granted for this fellowship and the blessings you have shown from each other. And we commit our heart to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We continue on our series on worship. There are some figures in the Bible who we think are hard to associate with worship. And Jacob is one of them. We have some reasonable doubt to attribute him as worshiper of God because he is known as a deceiver. But this is where the grace of God plays. Deceivers can also be transformed into God worshippers. In full honesty, we have to admit that we are actually no better than Jacob in our fallen nature. But like Job, when God's grace overtakes our sinfulness, we can be broken and transform into a worshiper like Job. With that introduction, I'd like us to read Hebrews 11:21. Hebrews 11:21. By faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. The Hebrews 11:21 describes the last moment of Jacob by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And the Hebrews describe Jacob as the man who worshiped God on his deathbed, leaning on top of his staff. I think the first, there are a couple of important things here, but the first thing is about the word worship that describes Jacob's action of worship, which is in Greek word proskuneo. The prominent Greek word in the New Testament Bible, when you see worship, probably 90% of time it is proskuneo. Proskuneo, that's a Greek word for worship. And this word is used to designate the custom of prostrating oneself before persons and kissing their feet or the hem of their garment. And the Persians did this in the presence of their deified king, and the Greeks before a divinity or something holy, to express in attitude or gesture one's complete dependence on or submission to a higher authority figure. And these words are found in many non-biblical literature during the first century and before and after. And because New Testament was written in Greek, this proskuneo was borrowed into when New Testament writers render this word worship, proskuneo. Isn't this word proskuneo much sounding like the Hebrew word shacha that we have been looking at from the worship of Job and worship of Abraham? And shacha also same meaning, prostrate and worship God. And Job's worship also used the same Hebrew word shacha, which has corresponding translation of this Greek word proskuneo. And in his last moment, Jacob, I believe, has attained the same rank as the other great worshipers like Abraham and Jacob. And the tense of this word proskuneo, in this case, is called aorist in Greek grammar, which means this has a connotation of action once and for all. And as Jesus died once and for all for the sins of the world, Jacob once and for all worshiped God at his last moment. This doesn't mean Jacob didn't worship God before, but he gave all his energy left to worship God once and for all right before he died. This is a beautiful picture of how we should also depart from our earthly life. He gave all his passion, energy, and the last ounce of his strength to worship God, proskuneo, once and for all, and he died. And the text we read has another interesting point. It says, by faith Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on top of his staff. What does it mean, worshipping, leaning on the top of his staff? What does that mean? Why do Hebrews writer put these words to describe Jacob's worship? So this means, I believe, he could not stand without his staff. He utterly depended on this particular staff, but this staff is not simply a wooden stick that Jacob depended physically as he was getting older. There is a deep spiritual meaning behind this staff Jacob leaned on. To understand this, we have to go back to what happened to Jacob years ago. Would you please turn with me to Genesis 32? Actually, if you have a summary sheet, it's at the back of your Bible study sheet. It's written there, so you don't have to turn in. Genesis 32, verse 22. Now he rose that same night and took his two wives and his two maids and his 11 children and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. And he took them and sent them across the stream, and he sent across whatever he had. Then Jacob was left alone. A man wrestled with him until a daybreak. And when he saw that he had not prevailed against him, he touched the socket of his thigh. So the socket of Jacob's thigh was dislocated while he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the dawn is breaking." But he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him and said, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is that you ask my name?" And he blessed him there. So Jacob named the place Peniel, and he said, "I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been preserved." Now the sun rose up upon him, rose upon him just as he crossed over Peniel, and he was limping on his thigh. And therefore, to this day, the sons of Israel do not eat the sinew of the hip, which is on the socket of the thigh, because he touched the socket of Jacob's thigh in the sinew of the hip. So to give you some background, right before Jacob was crossing over the Jabbok River, which is at the entrance of the promised land, Canaan, to meet his brother Esau, this incident took place. And he sent away all his family, and he was the last one left alone that night. And then a man appeared and began to wrestle with Jacob. And from the later text, we know that this man was actually God himself. And as this man was wrestling with Jacob, he could not prevail against Jacob. Then he hit Jacob's socket of his thigh, which is his hip bone, and dislocated Jacob's hip bone. Still, Jacob did not give up in spite of this injury, and he continued to wrestle with this man until the day was about to break. And this man, God told Jacob to let him go as the day was breaking. But Jacob would not let this man go, and demanding to bless him. And then this man gave a new name for Jacob, Israel. And while this man did not reveal his own name and disappeared from Jacob before the sun was rising. And if we pay attention, verse 31, let me read it for you. And now the sun rose upon him, just as he crossed over Peniel, and he was limping on his thigh. So this hit by God caused an indelible permanent damage on his body. He has become a crippled man from this moment on until he died. And definitely, God blessed Jacob at the ford of Jabbok River. And Jacob got his new name, which is his new identity, new status, and new direction. And as there was a physical injury that resulted in a permanent crippled Jacob, God literally broke Jacob. That's the meaning behind this hit by God while God was wrestling with Jacob. But this is God's grace. Let's think about this. This injury, this pain, was actually a gain for Jacob. It's a God's blessing. You know why? You know, because God could have left him alone to let him continue to live a life of pride and deception and self-reliance. But God did not leave him alone that way, but broke his hip bone, which is a symbol of his self-sufficiency. But with his hip bone intact, he can stand by himself. But God broke it to make him a crippled man. You know, Jacob's crippled walk signifies that he is no longer a self-sufficient, self-dependent man. He had to depend on this staff in order to walk. This sounds like a curse, yet this was a true blessing from the Lord. I believe that from this moment on, Jacob began to use his staff to be able to walk properly as his hip bone was permanently dislocated. You know, this means at every and each step of his walk, he is reminded of what happened that night. What happened that night where he encountered God at the fork of Jabbok River. And God touched him and incurred a permanent damage on his body. And he got a new name, Israel. It's a compound word. Sarah is content, and El is God. So Israel is actually a Joseph a stem. That means Israel means may God strive, or may God contend, or may God persist. And the word Israel appears more than 2,500 times in the Old Testament. And clearly it is a new identity, not just for Jacob himself, but for the entire nation called Israel. May God contend. May God strive. May God persist. That's what Israel means. So let's draw a big picture. Jacob was en route to the promised land, Canaan, from Haran, where he lived with his uncle, Laban. And up until this point, Jacob was victorious, even without God. He outwitted his brother Esau twice, not just once, but two times, to secure his birthright and Isaac's blessing. He took away that was meant for his brother Esau. And after staying more than 20 years in his uncle's land, Haran, Jacob came away with tremendous wealth of his uncle's fortune, with a large family of 11 children and two wives and two maids, and thousands of animals that he attained. He was victorious again with his ability, determination, and deception. We cannot say that Jacob didn't know God. We know that about 20 years ago, on the way to Haran, at Bethel, Jacob encountered God. But that was a long time ago. And we don't hear much story about God's interaction with Jacob for all those 20 years. So we cannot really say that Jacob was a true worshiper of God at this juncture. By and large, Jacob was a self-sufficient and self-relying man, and he was still a go-getter to achieve his goal by employing all the means he can possibly get. Even the meeting with Esau, which was going to take place after he crossed the Jabbok, he had all the schemes he orchestrated to make sure the damage would be minimized. And this man was about to enter the promised land, Canaan, as the heir of Abraham's covenant. And I don't believe God would let him, fulfill the Abrahamic covenant with the man as who he was. And God intervened. God could not let this man Jacob to enter promised land as who he was. And he could not bear with him anymore. God needed to break him somehow. And therefore he showed up, I believe, as a man, and wrestle with Jacob and incur Jacob a permanent damage in his body while giving him a new identity. As I said, Israel means may God strive, may God contend, and may God persist. This is a perfectly God-centered name. God takes the initiative. God is at the center of Jacob with this new name. And I believe with this new name, with his crippled the feet, Jacob began a new journey. It's a turning point after this encounter at the ford of Jabbok River. As he was entering, he was crippling, as the Hebrews says. He was no longer a self-sufficient, self-relying man on the flesh, but a broken and transformed man who relies on God's grace. So I believe that the staff symbolized God's grace. He needed it. Had not God shown up that night at Joppa, Jacob could have remained the same fleshly man for the rest of his life. But by God's grace, God did not leave him that way. And he showed up and broke him. So with the dislocated hip bone, Jacob was a permanently crippled man who relied on his staff. That's my interpretation. That's how I connect crippling with the staff in the book of Hebrews. And I believe this staff is the one that Hebrews 11:21 talks about. By faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on top of his staff. He still carries this staff, and once and for all, when he worshipped God before he died, he was leaning on top of his staff. So Jacob's staff was a constant reminder of God's grace, who broke him, literally, physically, but also spiritually. And Apostle Paul confessed in 2 Corinthians 12:9, power is perfected in weakness. And when I am weak, then I am strong. You know, Apostle Paul has some physical weakness as well, but that serves for him to be strong, relying fully on God's power. I believe something similar happened to Jacob. Although he was a crippled man because of his handicap, he relied on God on his journey in the new land God promised. So Jacob's worship, what is Jacob's worship? I think we can summarize worship in brokenness in the grace of God. Worship in brokenness in the grace of God. You know, God's grace has to be at the heart of our worship. You know, we are here today not because of our own ability, but because of God's grace. You know, somewhere along the line of our life, God intervened. He may not intervene the way he did to Jacob, but somewhere along the line, I believe, somehow God appeared in our life. And God touched us. He may not broke our own hip bone, but he touched our heart somehow. And God hit us, and God broke us. And that's God's grace. And God so longs you and me to be his worshipers in all brokenness, in the presence of his grace. You know, when God breaks you, there will be pain, but this pain is good for you, and this pain is your gain. As name Israel stands for, may the Holy Spirit help us to be utterly broken in the grace of God. May God contend with us. May God strive with us. May God persist with us to break all our agenda, to break all our self-sufficiency, break all our misconception about what we can do by ourselves, so that we would utterly depend on the God of grace. May God strive to break us to his glory. Let's pray. Father God, we confess that unless we are fully broken, we cannot be a true worshiper of you. If there is anything that stands out about us, our ability, our achievement, or our title, you know, our past success, whatever those things, Father, we lay aside at the feet of Jesus Christ. We are no better person than Jacob. We are as vile, if not more vile than the thief who died next to Jesus Christ. But your grace showed up in our life through your son Jesus. Father God, let us look back how, what kind of journey we have taken up this moment. Unless there was your grace, we cannot even be here. But somehow you touched us, you hit us, you intervened in our life to break us from the path of sin to the path of glory and righteousness. We are here all because of you. Father, let us never forget your grace. Your grace is indeed sufficient for all of us. And if there is anything that needs to be broken, Father, from our humanness, please break it all today. Completely smash it so that we cannot even find a trace of them. To be all yours. Father, at the end of the day, when everything is done and said, let us praise you. The blessed be the name of the Lord. May our life be presented as living sacrifice acceptable to you. We give all the honor and glory to you and solely to you. We pray in your son's name, Jesus Christ.
Solid gold, like the vow that's tested, like a covenant of old. Your love enduring through the winter rain, beyond horizon, merciful today. Faithful you have been, faithful you will be. Pledge yourself to me, that's why I sing. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips. You father the orphan, your kindness makes us whole. You shoulder the weakness, and strength becomes our own. You're making it like new, clothing me in white. Bring beauty from ashes, for you will have your bride. Free of all our guilt, rid of our shame, known by our true name. That's why I sing. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. You will be praised, you will be praised. with angels and saints we sing, worthy are you, Lord. You will be praised, you will be praised. With angels and saints we sing, worthy are you, Lord. That's why I sing, your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips.
Heavenly Father, we were created to worship you, and we are worshiping you, and we will worship you in all eternity in the kingdom of God. And Father, worship is so important. It's about you. It's about who you are. Thank you that you are sovereign. Thank you that you are loving. And thank you that you are gracious. You are gracious to whom you are gracious. You are compassionate to whom you are compassionate. You know, you are all in all. You are Alpha and Omega. You set the beginning and you set the end. Father, for the rest of our life, with the heart of Jacob, in all brokenness, let us give all our strength an honor to worship you. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of our Father who is in heaven and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit to be with us all. Amen.